Blog Talk Radio.
One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. My name is Lorianne Smith, and I'm glad to be here. It's Monday morning, July 24th, 2017, 7 o'clock here in the morning. And I'm just waking up having a coffee, and glad to be here. This is just looking at a morning reflection, really, just, you know, taking a look at what I can do to help myself sort of stay on track for my healing journey. Hopefully this show is helping somebody else out there. And, you know, that's my hope anyway. It's really just my healing journey, making sure that I stay on it. And for looking at information I find helpful, helping me to keep track of how I'm doing, what I can use for self-care, for coping mechanisms, just kind of looking at where I'm at and what I need to work on sort of thing. So thanks for being here. I appreciate it for, you know, everybody who's tuning into the shows. And, you know, that song is called The Calling by Angel Wing. It's a song I was using for another show, but it's actually really beautiful, and I love the music, so I think it just plays automatically here. I don't know how to stop it. I guess I'd have to take the thing off of here on the show when I create the show. So maybe I'll just leave it and play a couple seconds of it. It is really nice. So I don't usually have music on this show, but I just started doing that for another show. So I guess maybe I'll leave it, but we'll get right into this morning reflection, really. Let's see. How am I feeling this morning? You know, how did things go for the weekend? Pretty good, I would say. Not bad. The weekend was good since Friday, since the last show. I didn't have a whole lot of time to do anything. I was very busy. Didn't have much time to work on anything as far as my workbooks and things that I'm working through with Dr. Alan Allender and his work. It's called Wounded Heart by Dr. Dan B. Allender. It's really looking at information, healing information, hope for adult victims of childhood sexual abuse. I'm working through the book and the workbook, and I'd got a good little jump in it, and now I haven't been able to get back to it for weeks, but I am planning on doing that shortly. I don't know about this week, because this week is pretty well, it's Monday, but it's already shot, so I don't know if I'll be able to do it this week, but within the next few weeks, I should be getting back in on that, getting back to work on that, which is very helpful for me, so. How am I feeling? I had a good weekend. I was a little triggered, for whatever reason. Sundays are very triggering for me. Sundays are not, it's not a good day for me on the calendar. And so just from the abuse that I suffered in my, we suffered in my home, at the hands of my dad mainly on Sundays, and just the trauma and whatnot that would take place because of my parents fighting and horrific stuff. So Sunday is just built into me. It's just not a good day. But I actually had a really good day yesterday. Out in the sunshine and out, you know, summertime, running around, running errands, but still had a good time with my husband. And so wasn't too bad, but I was a little bit triggered this weekend. And just did spend some time relaxing and just taking it easy. I did take some time, especially on Saturday, just to veg and just breathe, just sit and allow my body to relax, allow my mind to relax, allow myself to sit quietly with my thoughts, sit quietly with my triggers instead of trying to, you know, necessarily fix something. I just allowed myself to sit and relax, be calm. And that was good because I needed to sort of slow down. I had such a busy week, and this week is looking pretty busy too. So sometimes have to just shut down and just relax and take it easy. So I did a little bit of that. So that's kind of where I'm at this morning, feeling pretty good. Not bad, just a little bit overtired. But this is the way it goes for the next few weeks anyway. Safety checklist. You know, if you're a survivor and you're just starting out on your healing journey, you want to do a safety checklist to see where you're at this morning. You know, are you safe enough to really be listening to this or anything like this, you know? Survivors of abuse can be triggered very easily, especially when you first start your healing journey out. You know, if you're not sure how this sort of information might make you feel, you know, whether it's going to cause you to feel worse and then go backward in your healing journey, you really don't want that. So make sure you're safe enough to be listening. Do a safety checklist, and you can get that information, ASCA Survivor to Thriver Manual, from the ASCA Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and More Center program. That website has that manual there, and it's for free. You can just download it, or you can read it right online if you don't want to download it. And that first chapter, Safety First, is 60 pages long. It's huge, but anyway, it's worth reading. And I did read it when I first started my healing journey, and I got a lot of good information out of it. So make sure you're safe enough to be listening. If you're not, turn the show off, because you won't be hurting my feelings at all. Keep yourself safe and learn how to get that information first before you start getting into this sort of stuff, just to make sure you are safe enough. You're not going to hurt yourself or hurt somebody else around you, right? Or just have a miserable day or go backward in your healing journey. You don't want that. Nobody does. So keep yourself safe. Anybody else, you have to listen at your own discretion. We're talking about abuse, very sensitive subject. Very, very sensitive. And so you have to know what's good for you to listen to, and just make sure you're making the right decision for yourself. We're looking at here this morning, this is Havoka. We're still on Havoka, Information for Survivors Feelings, on HAVOCA, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, Havoka. We're looking at this information called Emotional Health. And first we were looking at Dealing with Emotional Distress and Its Physical Effects, and by Suzanne Scott and Lynn M. Constantine. Then they were talking about outer calm versus inner storm, and then reclaiming emotions. That's what we went through and looked at on Friday. And then this morning is bargaining with the internal censor, because they were saying writing about emotions is a more effective way to buffer hostility and open up memories and emotions safely and non-destructively, according to James Pennybaker, PhD professor at Southern Methodist University, SMU, and the author of Opening Up, The Healing Power of Confiding in Others. There is an unmistakable connection between emotions and immune system and endocrine activity. Words, he says, and particularly the written word, have an enormous power to heal. So that's kind of what they were talking about. Now, bargaining with the internal censor is the next one I want to look at for this morning. They said some survivors report that their writing is plagued by either an internal censor who cleans up the emotions before they can spin out of the pen onto the page, or by an internal critic who dismisses their writing as worthless. And the censor and the critic interfere with the free flow of words because they view being in control as a critical survival skill. And so they may not easily give up that control. Clarissa Pinkola Estes, PhD, a noted Jungian analyst, Jungian analyst, who studies the creative process, suggests that it may be far more helpful to make an alliance with these inner forces than to fight with them. On an audio tape program called Journey to Creativity, she suggests that would-be writers visualize the internal critic and find out what he or she is trying to protect them from. Similarly, she suggests bargaining with the internal censors, giving them a limited but definite role in the inner process of creativity, such as allowing them to say whether a piece works or doesn't work for them, but not allowing them to say anything judgmental. So that's kind of interesting. They're just talking about the fact that, you know, if we're going to do some writing and journaling, even if it's not writing a book or something like I did, which started out a blog originally. I never thought of writing a book. I was not writing a book. I was writing a blog online years ago when I started a couple years after I started my healing journey, just as a safety mechanism, because I thought, no, the world's got to know what happened here, because my abuser dad was living with me for a year, and that kind of created some problems because we had never resolved our issues. He was a really old man, but he was still abusive, psychologically messed up, and my little inner wounded me from so long ago being abused by him really freaked out about him being back in my life, because I had been away from him for a long time and was very comfortable about not being around my abuser parents and very happy about it, actually. But I let him come and stay with me for a year, so that's kind of where that all came from. I wasn't really planning on writing books. I just wrote a public-facing blog, but then a lot of people said, you know, that's really good, you should publish it. And I was like, well, you know, okay, I guess so. It's just I wanted this out there for people so the world would know what my abusers got away with, right? And that this is incredibly wrong. Never should have happened. And that I shouldn't have to feel bad because I actually survived. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have to feel bad because I'm on the planet. You know, like, this is just ridiculous what families do to do to the other family members. It's like, especially if they're in denial, you know, and that the abusers would think that why would we have anything to say about it at all? You know what I mean? So this was the issue. I was like, no, I'm speaking out. I don't care. You know, I don't care who likes it. So I just wrote a blog. So they're talking about writing. So it could be like a journal, writing and allowing our whatever we want to say to come out, right? That we'll have these, possibly, not everybody, but some people have these internal censors who clean up, like they said, who cleans up the emotions before they spin out onto the page, right? So before a person can actually write anything down, we have, some people may have these internal censors or internal critics who actually don't allow people to write what they really want to write because it's for protection or it's for, you know, whatever the reason being, they don't want that information to be put down on paper, this internal part of ourselves. I guess that's what they're talking about. And I guess I can see that. You know, for me, when I started writing, I just thought, no, truth is truth, and it's, I'm going to spell it out. I'm going to put it out there. I don't care. Truth is absolutely necessary. And, you know, so therefore, I'm going to stand before God because I'm a believer. And I'm like, I can't lie, because then if I lie, then I'm going to stand before God, and it's going to be horrible to face him and have to, you know, acknowledge that I've told some untruths, you know what I mean? So every single word of that's true. And I didn't record every single thing. To write my life story out, to write anybody's life story out, would just be ridiculous. You know, page after page after page after page, you know, thousands of pages. It would get really mundane because, you know, the issues were not about my daily, you know, life. It was about these horrific events that shaped really who I became as a teenager, and then, you know, as a preteen, as a teenager, what caused me to be that way that I was as a child, and then what shaped me as a teenager, what caused my siblings to kind of do what they did. And I wanted the world to see that abuse and dysfunction and domestic violence and just horrific stuff like that is so damaging. It's just so incredibly damaging, and I wanted the world to see that and who the culprits were, which were my parents. My parents and one of my siblings who raped me as a child. So horrific. And, you know, I decided to let the words come out. And it took me, like, especially to do One Child Abuse Survivor to Another, the journey about the child, the CSA child sexual abuse. That book was hard for me to do because I had to get in touch with the actual reality of what happened. Because I had shoved it so far down there, I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to deal with it. But I knew I'd never be able to heal if I didn't allow myself to see that stuff. And all the memories were there, but they were, what do you want to say, maybe like a protective coating put around them, like bubble wrap, you know, or something. And until I removed the bubble wrap, I really couldn't get them down on paper. So I had some friends, actually a couple of friends, help me out. And sort of doing a meditation and whatnot, guided meditation and stuff, where they allowed me to do the talking, but they would just help me to get there. I was able to actually get rid of that bubble wrap and expose the memories of what I actually suffered as a child, being sexually abused by my brother. Horrific. But anyway, if I hadn't done that, I don't think I'd be able to heal, because I needed to actually be able to work through this stuff and without being able to see it and remember it clearly, because I had pushed it so far down. I was never going to get in touch. I was never going to be able to really heal. So that's why I did that. So we always, it can happen that we have these censors or critics. It's for protection a lot of time, this inner censor or this inner critic that is really just trying, it's our own self trying to protect ourselves. So in other words, you know, if it's shame based, or if it's, you know, some sort of guilt or some sort of whatever because of the abuse of any type or any kind of thing where, you know, it's just critical that the world doesn't know about it. That inner critic or inner censor might not allow the words to come out. So I think that's interesting what they've written there. And I think, you know, for me, I just let it all come out. And I didn't care. I'm like, well, you know, too bad. Truth is truth. And I didn't have, it's different, I guess, if you still have a relationship with your abusers, you know, your parents or whoever it was. If it was a family member of some type, you know, and the families many times, you know, they're still trying to do the family thing, quote unquote. That can be a real problem, because then, you know, people don't want to rock the boat, or people don't, they just fear for their lives many times. You know, as many times survivors have been their lives have been threatened if they say anything, you know, if they go out, you know, and actually make noise and tell anybody about the abuse, they could be killed. Right? And so there's many reasons why people don't want to do this sort of thing. And I would say that writing, you know, doesn't have to go public. You can write and then tear it up or burn it or whatever you want to do. You can write stuff and then get rid of it. It doesn't have to go out and be published. You know what I mean? That's just for people like just who want to get their truth out there and don't care who, you know, want everybody to see it, right? Not everybody does, so it's not a right or a wrong thing. It has to be what's right for you. Because some, you know, not everybody wants to go public with their stuff, right? But writing can be very helpful as far as journaling goes. But if you want to make sure that nobody ever gets a hold of your journals, you have to be very careful about that. So you're not writing stuff and placing it in places where people can get a hold of it. You know, that could be a real problem for you if you didn't want anybody to know, right? So then you'd have to make sure you got rid of that paper and you'd have to destroy it, you know, systematically to make sure that nobody ever gets a hold of it. Writing can be a real issue. I know for me, I really, when I started doing Blog Talk Radio, that was very, very helpful for me because doing this show, because it allows me to say whatever I want. But what even helped me even more was doing my Born in Hell website because I did videos. I did like 25 hours worth of videos or something like that. I don't know how many hours. It was a lot of hours, but I put it together last summer. It took me all summer to do this. It was a big job. And the videos that I did sort of, I wouldn't do them every night, but I'd probably do one every other night. And sometimes I'd do a couple, you know, within a couple of days or something. It was one point I did about two or three of them all in one day because I had time. And I just broke them up in hour or 40-minute segments or hour-long segments or whatever. But I did like 25 hours worth of video, and I got to say whatever I wanted to. And it was great. Let me tell you, as a survivor of abuse, from two parents who just trashed their children and trashed each other. I don't care if they trashed each other, whatever. But they trashed their children, and they got away with it. And, you know, I got to say what I wanted to say, and that was my piece. And, you know, that really made a big difference because it's the same with writing. If you can write whatever you want, and you can tear it up. It doesn't have to go anywhere. It's allowing yourself to get this stuff out that needs to come out, right? So I think that's interesting. And we'll look at the next one. You can go to Havoka and check this out yourself. It's Nonverbal Methods of Releasing Emotions. And then there's one more section of this, and then that section's done. But we'll look at that one on Friday, Nonverbal Methods of Releasing Emotion. But you can go to that website and check it out yourself. It's very interesting. So number two, positive reinforcement. What are we doing right in our daily walk? Looking at positives and progress instead of negative thoughts. What am I doing right? Well, instead of just being negative and all the time, what am I doing right? Oh, same thing. You know, I'm actually doing pretty good, I think. Staying on target. Just the fact that I got out of bed is good. Monday mornings, I don't really like Monday mornings. I have a real problem with them because I don't like Monday. So it's like for me to get out of bed on Monday is like, that's great. You know, I did good. I've always been able to do it because I have to because I got to work and I got stuff to do. But it's never something I'm looking forward to, actually. It's like coming off my weekend. So doing good, you know, feeling pretty good. Trying to take care of myself. I've actually decided that I seriously need exercise because I don't get any. And I don't have much time. I got a really strange, bizarre situation where I work from home and because my husband's terminally ill. And I have a split shift. And so I work early in the morning and then I have the afternoon off and then I work at night. But in the afternoon, I'm trying to help my husband because he has to have things that need to be done and he can't do them. So he can't even make himself anything to eat. He's literally dependent on me. So if he was starving, I guess he could crawl to the fridge. He could walk to the fridge with his walker, go try to get he can't get his wheelchair in there, but he could get to the fridge if he had to, if something happened to me. But the thing is he can't cook anything and he can't carry anything. So I gotta, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I gotta do for him. And so my afternoon is taken up with that. So I don't really get to do any kind of, you know, I'd have to do my exercising before, like before I did the show here in the morning, like 5 o'clock in the morning. I really don't, I'm sleeping at 5 o'clock in the morning. So trying to get exercise for me is a real problem, but I seriously need it because I'm starting to get really out of shape. I noticed that on the weekend because I had a lot of, I had to take my husband. We went to do some errands and running around and doing some shopping and stuff. And we live in this apartment situation where we got to, you know, it's not like you just park in front of your door. You got to park in like a parkade and you got to bring your groceries up, and it's like a big long issue just to get bags of groceries into your apartment because it's a big city, it's a big building, it's not easy. And it's like, I found out just how bad a shape I'm in yesterday, so I got to start, as far as what am I doing right in my daily walk, you know, I really got to start incorporating exercise in there. But the thing is I guess what I'm doing right is actually acknowledging that and realizing that I do need to make time for it. So that's a positive, you know. I can't be too down on myself. I'm really stuck in a situation where it's not necessarily laziness. It's just an issue that I don't have much time. So I got to start making time. So that's it. I got to make time for a lot of things in my life. I got to start eating better. You know, I got to start getting some exercise. I got to start doing some self-care stuff. But in the meantime, just the fact that I'm acknowledging this stuff, I think that's a positive instead of just blowing it off. So there's a positive there, you know. I mean, otherwise I could say that I'm trying really hard to keep things going and make sure I'm doing the right things to take care of myself, which is really important. After stemming, you know, coming from abuse, it's so easy just to let ourselves go. And, you know, I watched my mother do it. My mother was my prime example because she was abused as a child. She let herself go. She was abused by her husband. She just let herself go, you know. And absolutely horrific, you know. She would just escape by reading books. She would escape. That was her escape. She would read. My mother was a major reader. She would read books and books and books and books and books, like novels, you know, like, you know, those novels that women love, you know. All the really super thick novels that would take somebody like me probably, you know, at least a week to read. It would take her like a couple of days because she wouldn't sleep. Because my dad was always trying to rape her, at night especially, right? Because when we were all sleeping, you know, who's going to, it was just when he had an opportunity to get to her, right? That's what abusers do. That's what my brother did to me, my 21-year-old brother, when I was 8 years old. Any opportunity he had to come in my room from 8 to 9 to rape me, he took advantage of it, right? Nobody in the house during the day, and I was around, I was getting raped. So this is how it is with abusers, right? They look for opportunities. So my mom didn't sleep at night because one of us would have had to stay up all night with her to protect her, which is absolutely ridiculous. And so she couldn't get any sleep. She was just sick. She had so many children. But she did let herself go. She could have got help. She could have got more exercise. She could have got away from my abuser dad. You know, absolutely horrific, right? We got to do a better job than that. You know what I mean? As survivors of abuse, we really do. You have to. We are the only ones who can do this to help ourselves out. So whatever it is in our lives, you know, we need to get going on it and make some. And you know, like we can't do it overnight. So I guess the positive reinforcement would be that just to even think about some of this self-care stuff is on the right track, right? And that's progress instead of negative thoughts, right? Because even just thinking about what we can do to help ourselves out. Even that, I think, is worth recognizing as a positive, right? The next section of this affirmation stuff that I'm looking at that I think is interesting is getting started affirmations. Havoca, H-A-V-O-C-A, is recordings. We looked at people power on Friday. You can go back and listen to that one if you want to. Next, we're looking at recordings. Place your affirmations on tape and play them back while you're driving to work. So I guess if you had a little voice recorder, I've got one of those. I don't use it for that, but I use it for other stuff, but like lectures and stuff like that. But we could do that, or you could, if you had a, like, we, you know, we used to use cassette tapes and stuff. That's sort of really old school, you know. Not that many people have tape players that can record. So this information is a little outdated, but you can pick up a voice recorder, for not a bad price if you really wanted to do something like that. Or you can just record online, sort of in a private recording thing, and then play it back, right? That's more like what, more than likely, a little program. If you have a program, like I've got Movie Maker thing, that's how I do my videos. You can do that there, I guess, and then just erase it or whatever. Just delete it. So it says, place your affirmations on tape. Play them back while you're driving to work, driving on a trip, or working around the house. Play them through the headphones of your player while you're exercising. Have someone else record the affirmation for you, professionally done in a soothing voice with music in the background, or have someone close to you record your affirmations. Make it a combination tape. Record some of your in your own voice. Have other voices stating the affirmations. Get all your friends to record a chant with your affirmation. This is just ideas they have that to help ourselves with affirmations, right? Make up a song with your affirmation. Be creative. Have some of your musically inclined friends contribute with accompaniment and chorus. Make a delightful recording with voices and sounds that you trust and feel good about. Play it often. That's cool. And the next one is word power, so we'll look at this one. Sit down with pencil and paper and just start writing positive words. Fill up the whole page with beautifully positive, peaceful, healing, spiritual, compassionate, patient, wholesome, intuitive, thoughtful, incredible, healthy, vibrant words. Just words. If you missed it, an example of affirming words and phrases can be found by following all the letters in rainbow, the R-E-I-N-B-O-W. Make sure to find your way back here. That's on their website. You can check that out. It's this little affirmation thing done with the letters from the word rainbow. So yeah, I mean, we can do stuff like that. There's lots of things a person can do to help ourselves, to get into a better space, to get into some positive affirmation instead of really negative stuff. So I think that's interesting. Next up is list your qualities. We'll look at that Monday. And then affirmations for problems. And then next, maybe in a couple of weeks, we'll get to this positive self-talk. This is what I really want to look at. It's really, I think, very important. And let's see. Coping mechanisms. How are we coping? You know, you can go to irvingstudio.com. I would actually go to Child Abuse Survivor Monument. It's the same guy. It's Michael C. Irving. He's a psychotherapist. He's like a sculptor. He's a doctor. He's a survivor himself, and he created this Child Abuse Survivor Monument here in Canada. And if you go to his website, Child Abuse Survivor Monument, just type it in. It'll take you there. And there's a self-care tab there, a self-help tab. And there's all kinds of really awesome coping mechanism stuff that a person can use to help, like, for instance, creating boundaries, containment boundaries, creating physical boundaries, creating a container. We looked at that on Friday. And those are really good, really, really good. Let's see, what's the next piece of that? Creating an imaginary safe place. This is from Child Abuse Survivor Monument. This is Michael C. Irving. Imagine a safe place. It can be a real or imaginary place, a safe place. Right? What do you see, especially colors? What sounds do you hear? What sensations do you feel? What smells do you smell? What people or animals would you want in your safe place? And imagine a protective bubble wall or boundary around your safe place. And imagine a door or gate with a guard at your safe place. And imagine a lock and key to your safe place, and only you can unlock it. This is very similar to the in your Envision Mind program that I did with Beverly Searle out of Australia and another good friend of mine who really worked in the field of I guess psychotherapy and whatnot. She used to be a practicing licensed psychotherapist, but Beverly Searle is still a doctor. She's but this other friend of mine as well helped me out, the two of them from Australia, and they helped me with this program, Your Envision Mind, which is really kind of what helped me out with my healing journey. Probably the most was creating a safe place. Really, it's kind of what it is, you know. Go in and do this work. It's a containment work. It keeps, and also rescuing myself, you know, rescuing my inner children, these wounded parts, really, which were me at the age of, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, during the wounding, whether it was the physical abuse, the verbal abuse, the sexual assaults, the whatever it was that I suffered. I had to go and rescue myself at these points because I wasn't rescued. I wasn't saved. I was just left in a pile of my own blood, really, mostly. Horrific, but true. So I had to go back and save myself. Nobody else can do that for me. I know where I was in the house. I know where I was laying. I know what was happening. So I have to go in and rescue myself. So I've done that. And then you have this safe place, right? So it's a little bit more detailed than this, but I like what he has to say here. So you can go to that website, Child Abuse Survivor Monument, and check that out. It's really worth it. There's lots of good information there. There's a creating a safe environment in the here and now, which is very important, and all kinds of stuff. There's self-nurturing information there. Really, really great, really, really great stuff. So be sure and check it out. We have about a minute left, so we'll do a brainy quote. brainy quote list really quickly. I like these brainy quotes. These are awesome. They said you can use them as long as you tell people where you got them. So, brainy quote. How about this? Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. Arthur Ashe. That's awesome. Start where you are. Use what you have and do what you can. Arthur Ashe. That's awesome. So I wish you a wonderful week. You know, take good care of yourselves. And if you're struggling, like I say on all of my shows, reach out and get some help. Don't struggle on your own. You know, get some help. And if it requires calling a crisis line, you do whatever you have to do to get help, the help that you so deserve, right? So if you don't have anybody to talk to, which so many times we don't, you reach out and you get some help. Go check out NASCA, NAASCA, National Association for Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. I'm the Alberta ambassador, which is really awesome. It's a great honor. And go check it out. They've got great information. They're they're a family of survivors who then just keep building their family of survivors, right? So if you're a survivor of abuse, you would be very welcome there. And you want to make sure that you go check them out, NASCA, NAASCA.org, right? Have a wonderful week, everybody. Take good care of yourselves. Until next time, we'll see you Friday.